that we are about to read face their own storms, possibly amid political chaos, military threats, economic crisis, personal struggles, and the list can go on and on. But before reading the passage, let's pay attention to the structure of the passage. And if you notice in Psalm 46, at the end of verse 3, there's a word that sometimes we don't pay much attention to, Selah. And at the end of verse 7, we find Selah. And at the end of verse 11, we find it again, Selah. And what we have there is not a random, untranslated Hebrew word, but it's a music and liturgical instruction that is telling us, pause, stop, let this truth sink in, meditate on it. So this morning, we will follow that instruction. And I will start reading the passage. But when we finish verse 3, I will stop. And we will meditate on it. And then we will continue. And we will be reading a song. A three stanzas song that is so important for us in this world that rarely pauses. But we will pay attention. We will pause, and we will stop, and we will find hope. We will find peace. We will find joy in these three stanzas. So let me start reading the passage. Psalm 46. This is the word of the Lord. To the choir master of the song of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. Lord, please this morning guide us. Guide us to understand your word. Not only to understand it, but that the light of your word be in our hearts. And let your light dissipate all the darkness in our heart. Help us. Help us so that we can live according to your scripture without fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start paying attention to the passage. The first three verses. This is a song. This is something that is not only for individual enjoyment. This is for a community, a family, the family of the faith. This is a song written not only by one author, but by some of them at least. The text says, of the sons of Korah. So this is a song to be sung in worship. And in this song, we find not only a profound description of the Lord's identity. The text says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is not only a description of an identity. This is a description of a relationship. Because it is very different to say God is a refuge than saying God is our refuge. It's a very different thing. We can agree. The demons would agree that the Lord is refuge. But only those who have been saved, those who have been enjoy the goodness and the grace of the Lord, we only can say He is our refuge. And that word is very important, because when we talk about a refuge, in this context, they were referring to a city with high walls, ready to protect those who are inside from any situation. And this is precisely how the sons of Korah are describing the Lord to us. It's not only a description of Him, but to us. He is willing. He has all the power. It's not a difficult thing for Him to protect us. He finds delight in that. God is our refuge. He is our security. He is our, using Luther's words, He is our mighty fortress, our very present help in trouble. And the more we see Him this way and believe His sufficient refuge, strength, and help, the more we can confidently say, we will not fear. In other words, when we do not see God as sufficient for us, at that very moment, we will fall prey to fear. In some sense, the importance of not seeing only a description but a relationship is because it helps us also to see our identity, to evaluate our situation. And the question that we should be asking every single day, when we see all the world falling into pieces around us, the question to our own heart should be, is God sufficient for me? Is He enough? And the passage gives us a taste of this with the word thou. Therefore, we will not fear, thou the earth gives way. So how do we know that He is being sufficient for us in our hearts, in our minds? It's how we react, how we respond to a world that is suffering the consequences of sin. Are we trapped in fear? Or are we enjoying the safety, the security in the Lord? Knowing that He is all-powerful, almighty, as we were singing, to take care of us. And with this, I'm not saying that the situation will not touch us. But we are trusting that He is the one taking care of us. And that it will be only those situations that will result in my benefit that will be able to touch me. That the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, that its waters roar and foam, that the mountains tremble as it's swelling. The Lord said, and the Apostle John registered in the very last chapter of the Gospel of John, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We have our champion. The Lord has given us a champion, Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He conquered the devil. He is the one who overcome what we cannot overcome. And he is the one who is our mighty fortress, our refuge, our safe place. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Brothers, sisters, if your life is hidden, who's the one that is responsible for that? It's the Lord's. It's the Lord who did that for your benefit, for your safety. And when the Lord hides something, there's no one who will. What's the text of the lyrics of the song? We plucked us out of his hand. And we are not alone there. That's not a terrible place to be. It's an amazing place to be. Especially because there we are not alone. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So Christ is not only your mighty fortress. He describes himself as our older brother. That's why we can be called a family. We have a father in common. We have an older brother in common. We are the family of the faith. And the Lord, as a good father, he takes care of his family. Our trust in God's sufficiency will always be tested every day of our lives. We will have problems. We will have some situations maybe with our finances, with our health. We will be stressed by political situations. Nations, warring against nations, earthquakes, different situations. But we are in the best place that we can be, which is not really a place, it's a person. We are in the hands of the Lord with Jesus Christ. That's why we can sing with the psalmists and say, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We don't have reasons to fear, brothers and sisters. Maybe you could say, "Oh, haven't you watched the news yet?" Yes, terrible news, especially this week. A lot of difficult situations. A lot of people dying in ways that are terrible. But again, we can say, yes, I have watched the news, but we also have read the scripture. And we also have remembered his promises. We also have remembered his nature, his character. And we also know that even with the most painful situations that we can imagine, he is still reigning. Nothing is out of his control. He's taking care of you. Let's move to the second stanza. So the first reason is in the first stanza. We will not fear because who God is. But not only because who God is, but who God is, you can add there in your bulletin, to us. Second one, we will not fear because God is with us. Verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So let's pay attention to the Selah again. So we will stop again and meditate on the scripture. What the text says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A river making glad a city. But the city of God is, it's not Jerusalem, right? But when we see Jerusalem, if you open Google Maps, I don't think we use an atlas in these days, but if we open Google Maps and you start trying to find a river crossing Jerusalem, what happens? There's no river. So is this a mistake of the sons of Korah? No, it's not a mistake. It's because the city of God could not be Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem. Because that city has no river to start. That city does not fit with this description. Especially when the psalmists say, "God, she shall not be moved." Jerusalem was captured. So this could not be the earthly Jerusalem. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the city that all of us, we are part of it. The family of the faith. This is the city in which there is a temple in the middle. And this temple is Jesus Christ. He's the head, we are the body. We are living stones, part of that temple. But please, let's not forget the river. Because this river in the midst of this city is not only described by the sons of Korah. The prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 47, wrote these words, "And on the banks of both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." It's very interesting. A river is flowing out of the temple. This is not a common river. This river is like reminiscent of the Garden of Eden. If you read again Genesis 2, you will find a lot of rivers there, springing from one spot. But if we go to Revelation, chapter 22, we find that river again. I know where Revelation is. It's just that the pages are. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. River of the water of life. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Do you remember which was the last part of the temple, of the tabernacle? In the Holy of Holies, it's the throne of God. And this is the same river. So let's go back to the psalm. When the psalmist are writing here, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We should not be thinking on waters in the same sense that we were thinking on the waters in the previous stanza. Waters in the previous stanza was equivalent to disaster, to chaos. But here, these are another kind of waters. These are the waters of His grace, of His blessing, of His mercy to us, that make us glad, joyful. So here, now in the first stanza was describing how the Lord is protecting us from the situations that are outside of the fortress. Now, in this second stanza, He is describing that inside of the fortress, this will not be a boring situation or a lonely situation. No, we will be protected, but we will be together, joyful, enjoying the blessing of the Lord. And not only the blessing of the Lord, but the most important thing is that we will be enjoying His very presence. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, of the city. The end of verse 4, the holy habitation of the Most High. The holy habitation of this one who is above everything. He's the one taking care of you every single day. In the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your difficult situations, of your pain, He's there. And you can sing with the psalmist, we will not fear. You are not alone. Now let's see what happens outside of the refuge. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. It's what has been happening since the sin entered into the world. And is what will happen until the Lord comes back. When He comes back, then we will have eternal peace, finally, again. The kingdoms totter, the nations rage. Verse 6, He utters His voice. What is the result of that? The earth melts. So who is in control? Who is in His throne? That only with the power of His voice is enough to melt all the chaos outside of this refuge. Should be this something that makes us fear? Only if we are outside of the refuge. But being inside, you are safe. You are secure. You are joyful. You can find rest. Even among all the destruction around, you can be restful there. You can find joy. So family, it's okay if I call you family, because we are. We need to remember this. The Almighty God is the one who is taking care of us. And we are safe in His hands. If you are here and you have not known this God, let me tell you that you need to pay attention to the third stanza. Because the door is not closed for you. It's open for you. So let's move to the third stanza. Verses 8 through 11. Come! The very first word. Come! Come, behold the works of the Lord. How He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's stop again. Let's meditate on what we have read. Come. If you have not known this God, this particular word is for you. Come. Come before Him. Come so that you can see His works. So that you can see who is Him and who is Him for you and for His people. Come. Come to your Creator. So that He saves you. But if you know Him, this call is also for you. Come. Come so that you can glorify Him, so that you can worship Him because of His works, because of His power, so that you can look back and say, my fear had no reason. I was trembling. I was being worried because of all the noise of the earth, of the sin. There was no reason. Because my God is in control. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He loves you so much. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And His Son paid the price. That cross. He paid the price so that we can be free, not only free from sin, but also free from fear. Because even the last enemy was defeated. I was thinking this week on Lazarus. The Lord bring back to life Lazarus. And I was thinking on the Pharisees, maybe Roman soldiers, threatening him, saying, don't say a word about this man or we will kill you. It was like, okay. Okay. He knows. He knew who was his Lord. And you know who is your Lord. not even death will have eternal consequences on us. That's why the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, they sleep. And for those who sleep, we have hope. There will be a moment when we will wake up again. And we will enjoy his presence forever in a very different way. So come. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations to the earth. He is not only a merciful God, he is also a righteous and just God. So yeah, there will be desolation. But we have been brought to a safe place. But all these desolations will make the wars cease. He will break all the instruments of war. And this is like, this is the moment when the psalmist, the sons of Korah, they also have their own Selah. And they give room to the voice of the Lord. And in verse 10, now is not an instruction from the sons of Korah. Now is the instruction directly from the Lord. And he says, be still. Brothers, sisters, this call is for us. It's good for us that in the midst of all the turbulence of this life, we take times to be still. Before him, in prayer, reading, camping on the word, and know him, and know that he is God, that there is no other like him, that there is no one else able to do the works that he does, that there's nothing that is difficult for him. So the task of, if I can say, call it task, the work of protecting us is not something difficult for him. And he's worthy of our praise for that. Is what he says here. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let me finish reading the last sentence of this beautiful song. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob. Interesting that they pronounce the God of Jacob, the God of the covenant, is our fortress. Maybe you could be asking, but the truth is that I have fallen into the trap of fear so many times. Yeah, we all fail in that area. We all have failed. We all have been there. But the Lord is immutable. He is faithful, even when we are not. Yeah, maybe we have been trapped by fear, but we are still inside of this fortress. We stumble, but not outside of his hand. He's your protector. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Father who loves you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. thank you because you have loved us so much. Thank you because those are not only words that we hear. It's a reality that we have seen in so many ways, but especially through Christ. Help us to not be distracted with all the noise around us from the main thing that we have been created and saved for, to glorify you, to find delight in you, to enjoy you forever. Thank you, Lord. Because it does not depend on our ability. We will fail terribly. Thank you because you are sufficient. Please help us, Lord. Please help us to see this with clarity, but not only to see it, but to embrace it so that we can live without fear. Knowing that not a single atom in the universe moves out of your control. Because you are the King. You are the Most High. And we can rejoice under your protection and worship you. And thanking you because you are our Father who loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the Father who loves us sent his Son, and his Son prepare a table for us. Brothers, sisters, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us.